Welcome to God's Tabernacle Christian Family Church Where God Dwells podcast. Best believe that you'll be receiving the Word of God from our senior pastors, Drs. David and Louisa Muluzi. The Word of God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. Keep it locked and stay blessed.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight, that even as we study your Word, that you minister unto us by your Spirit. I make it known to your children that, God, I'm not trusting on my own human intellect to share your word, but I'm depending upon you, Spirit of God, to speak forth the word with power and with anointing. Lord, I promise to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that you do and accomplish through your word this day. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Shake a hand of somebody next to you as you sit down. Tell them, I am the highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Now, tonight we are continuing on our series, Set Your Mind on the Things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the Spirit of God, on the things of the Spirit. Let's open our Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, and we'll start reading from verse 5. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Say this, when I live according to the flesh, I will set my mind on the things of the flesh. But when I live according to the Spirit, I set my mind on the things of the Spirit. I therefore determine that I will set my mind on the things of the Spirit. Because I live according to the Spirit. Now, verse 6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. When I set my mind on the flesh, that's death, death. But when I set my mind on the Spirit, there is life and peace. It brings me life and peace. Now, just to recap a bit, remember our illustration that we gave, that there is the flesh and there is the Spirit. Maybe let me get also, the people that will be helping. I need the flesh, I need the Spirit. So that's the flesh. That's the flesh, right? And that is the human spirit, is a spirit, right? And then this is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now comes, when a person gets born again, the Holy Spirit comes and, firstly, before he's born again, the person, the spirit is dead. Die. Right. So now he hears the words and he receives the word. The Holy Spirit comes and he raises him up. Okay. So now he has been raised to life by the Holy Spirit. But he's still living in the flesh. And then he's still having the mind, who is the soul. So now he's still used to be controlled by the flesh. But now there is a new boss in town, the Holy Spirit. So now the mind Let's say, I am the mind, I am the soul of this person. Yeah. The mind now is looking at who is strong. Yeah. So if he is strong, the spirit, if a human spirit is strong, by, you know, accommodating the Holy Spirit, interacting with the Holy Spirit, receiving the word, that empowers the human spirit. So the mind will automatically focus on the things of the spirit. And the Bible says that it is life and peace. So the whole person will experience life and peace because his mind is set on, you know, the spirit, the human spirit who is with the Holy Spirit in, right? Yeah, but now, if he neglects reading of the word, he neglects the Holy Spirit, you know, he does not care about the Holy Spirit, he's not praying, he's not reading the word, he's not coming to church, you know, and so what happened? The Spirit, wait, when are we anywhere? You're here, but you're just weak. When are what clothes are we? I know, I guess. Your clothes are skinny, or, you know, or stuffy, and then or stumble on it, you know, and all of that. And then now the flesh is flourishing. Are you with me? Yeah. And now the mind says, who is strong? I go to the strong one. So now, as the mind now is now set on the flesh. Yeah. Now, the Bible says to set the mind on the flesh leads to death, to destruction, to failures, to disappointing God. You know, to set your mind, your soul on the flesh leads to death. Yeah. And so, your mind needs to be trained to focus on the spirit. Now, how do you train your mind? By the simple thing, and also train your body by simply interacting with the Holy Spirit. You know, connecting with God. Are you with me? You know, and being there with God, interacting with God, praying, coming to church, fellowshipping with God, being in the presence of God. Now, the Holy Spirit will now have influence over your human spirit. Yeah. And now when the Holy Spirit has influence over your human spirit is strong, and your human spirit, the Holy Spirit through your human spirit influences your mind. Are you with me? It affects and influences how you're thinking. You see, the person who is earthly minded, you know, you see on how he thinks. You know, and the person who is spiritually minded, you see, you know, this person is spiritual minded is because his mind is influenced by the Holy Spirit. It's not by the flesh. So it's so much important that we set our minds on the things of the Spirit so that we, you know, to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, it's like you put on the goggles, spiritual goggles. So you see things through through the eye of God, not through the flesh. Are you with me? So how now, when you see things through the eye of God, what will happen? You know, when somebody utter a khwatadi cons, you know, you won't be saying, wait a minute, Kitlo Monsa, he does not know who I am. I'm going to show him my true colors. You see, that is the flesh, right? You know, but when you see through the eye of God, you'll be saying, ah, Hashem, unasampun. You forgive, you let go. You know, you don't hold the grachi, you know, you don't do such things, but you accommodate people, you know, because you understand that you are seeing through the eyes of God. You know, you're showing grace, more grace upon people. Are you with me? Yeah. And so God says that that's where we need to live our lives. You know, by setting ourselves in the eyes, you know, seeing things according to God, the way God sees them. You know, not according to the flesh. You know, the flesh is worldly. The flesh sees things the way the world. You know, that's the world, eh? That's the flesh. You know, but now, when you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you see things according to the Spirit. You give people benefit of a doubt. You give grace to people when you interact with people. You know, because now you're seeing things according to the Spirit. You know, and then one thing, you never take advantage of people. You know, I was telling somebody, I said that, you know, it's so easy, especially, you know, out there in the world to take advantage of the poor. You know, the person who's struggling, who's poor, you know, you just want to komufeleleza. I said that, you know what? It's a dangerous thing. Never take advantage. When any person is disadvantaged in whatever thing, never take advantage of them. Yeah. And so, but when you see things through the eye of God, through the Spirit, you know, you will see that, you know, this person, I will never take advantage of them. You know, I will always be honest with this person. I will always be graceful with this person, you know, and so forth. And in that way, you will be living according to the Spirit. You know, and you don't see things by the flesh. You know, the flesh says, this is how you are to do things. Now, we saw also last week that when we see things according to the flesh, the Bible says that it's foolishness. You know, the things of God becomes foolish. You know, that when a person hits you, you forgive that person. It's foolishness. Yeah, that's according to the flesh. Yeah, but now, because we are children of God, we need to see things according to the Spirit. Now, we read this morning, the Bible says that we have not learned Christ that way, according to the flesh. We have not learned Christ that way. That's what we saw this morning, is that so? In today's message. Yeah, in other words, as children of God, you know, we need to do things right. Amen? You know, we need to do things right. You know, whether people are seeing us or not, that's immaterial. We just do the right things. You know, and that is what is important. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Can we give them a round of applause? Now, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, listen to, you know, with that in mind, I want us to really look into this text. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. Now, this church was the most troublesome church. Hey, you look at 1 Corinthians, Paul was dealing with issues, starting with divisions in the church. You know, and you're talking about people taking one another to court. Brothers, he says, can't you solve your own problem as fellow Christians? You know, why do you have to take one another to court? Yeah, and you have, you know, a case whereby a man is sleeping with his father's wife. In Corinth. Yeah. So meaning that probably the mother passed on and the father got married again. And so the man thought that, Mare, you know, this new wife of my father is still young. I think it's Hakaka. I think Linanka is Zamela Mo. You know, and that was what was happening in Corinth. Yeah. And the problem of eating things offered to idols. Yeah, and idol worship, you know, that was there. Paul was addressing all these things. And all of that, when they came for Holy Communion, that they were just feast. They were no longer celebrating the Lord's, you know, Holy Communion. It was a party. You know, they were coming to a party. And it says that, don't you have houses to eat at? You know, you come into the house of God to defile. And it says that you're eating the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. You know, you're not, and it says that's why some of you are weak, some of you are sick, some of you have even died. Because you are failing to acknowledge God. You see what they were doing? They were seeing things by the flesh. All those things that Paul addressed, it was by the flesh. When you want to see really the work of the flesh, you just have to read 1 Corinthians. It was a problem. It was a fleshy church. Yeah, a fleshy church, yeah? A carnal, you know, a church that was ruled by the flesh. And I am concerned that, you know, Christians nowadays, it's like we are turning towards that. I'm very much concerned. The way we are doing things, the way we are taking decisions, the way we are leaning more to the flesh. You know, we are leaning more to the flesh, really. You know, we are forgetting God. We are forgetting the Spirit. That is my concern. Yeah. And I pray that, you know, in this church, all of us, we will learn to be spiritually minded. You know, to look at things according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Yeah. And so Apostle Paul was addressing all that problem, all those problems. Now, listen to what he says in verse 1. He says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, he reminds them. You know, I like this. He draws them back to how it all began. Because they have lost it along the way. So he says, to solve this, let me draw you back to how it all began. Just like Jesus did. They came to Jesus. They say, Jesus, Moses said that if you no longer want to stay with your wife, you can divorce her and just give her a letter of divorce. What do you say? I posed the question to Jesus. And then Jesus said that it was not so in the beginning. He says, Moses did that because of the hardness of your heart. God allowed that. You know why? That Moses said that give them, you know, a certificate of divorce. You know why? Because this husband, now, that's why Jesus said that, because of the hardness of the heart. You know, a person would stay, would get married, yeah, but never maybe ignore the wife while he's married to. And Corey, you know, get married, just like one club in South Africa that I won't mention by name. You know, that if you're a player and then you're really troubling them, they go and buy you from that player. Not they're going to use you, no, they come and put you in a bench. You know it. Yeah. I won't mention the name. Yeah. I don't know if they are still doing that. Yeah. So now some men would be hard. You know, that and according to, you know, God, you can't go and commit adultery. And so a woman would just stay in and it's like not have a husband. But have a husband legally, but not have a husband in reality. You understand what I'm talking about? And so now Moses prayed about it, and God said that, look here, if you are no longer happy with that woman, because women, you know why? The culture of the day was that the woman could not, it's not like today where women can get a job, you know, be independent and have Women's Day. Yeah. And we still have to have Men's Day. But anyway, Men's Day is every day. Oh, okay. Anyway. So now, so today women are really free. But during that time, for a woman, their security was marriage and sons. That's why they would always pray for sons. Does not matter how many daughters they would have. They say, if God can just give me a son. Read your old Bible. Is there anywhere where in the Bible they are praying for a daughter? Eh? It's nowhere, right? They're always praying for a son. Why? Because a son was their security. Security in what sense? Is that now, while the husband is there, the husband is taking care of you, you know, you're well taken care of. You know. Now, if the husband dies, when the husband dies, and you don't have a son, now the inheritance never goes to the wife. It always went to the son. You know. Now, if there is no son, Hadi, it passes, it goes to the brother of the husband, the uncle, that is. So you are now, as a wife, you are at the mercy of the uncle. If he wants to take care of you, you know, it's if he does not want, you are stranded. Are you with me? And so now. Now think about this. You know, here you are, your wife, you've gotten married, you don't have a son, and your husband is no longer interested in you. Meaning, you are no longer performing your marital duties. Are you with me? Yeah. And so, there's no way that you're going to have a son. And now, you're stranded in there. Now, you're trapped. You're trapped in that marriage. And so God came in now and said that, you know what? Moses said, give that woman. You know what? Instead of abusing the woman, rather give her a certificate of divorce. There would be somebody else who would be interested in her and take care of her. So it was actually, that was a relief for the women. Are you with me? So now, in the New Testament, they come to Jesus. They say, Jesus, Moses told us. It's written, you can check it up also yourself, but he told us, it's there in the Old Testament. Moses said that, you can give a person a certificate of divorce. What do you say? And so Jesus had to address it. He said, Moses told you that because of the hardness of your hearts. If your hearts were never hard, they wouldn't have been in the first place that thing, Yahori, give him or give her a certificate of divorce. It says because of the hardness, Moses was solving a problem that you created. And so, but Jesus does not end up there. Listen to what he says. He says, it was not so in the beginning. He says, let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, it was not so. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eves. You know, that if you're not interested with this Eve, there is at least a second chance, there is another if. No. You know, it says it was not so in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, this was the situation. You know, are you with me? So always drawing people right to the beginning. Because, you know, people, especially carnal people, they tend to forget where they are coming from and how things started. They tend to forget. Yeah. And, you know, that's why God talks about, you know, don't remove ancient what? Boundaries. That's the word that, ancient pegs, boundaries. Says don't remove them. Yeah. And remember, you know, I that scripture got so embedded in me. I listened to it when I was listening to, you know, Nicholas Bengu, you know, Reverend Bengu, the founder of Assemblies of God, you know, back to God, you know, this Assemblies of God, you know, in the African Assemblies of God, a great man of God. Yeah, and I was still in Assemblies of God, and we had gone for a youth meeting in Witbank. Can't forget that, you know, and it was like a farewell message preaching. He knew that he was going to die, you know, sometime. And, but he has done so much for God. And I was reading, you know, about his life that, you know, before he died, you know what he did? He went to the mortuary. He chose the coffin, the cheapest coffin. He paid, you know, the person. Yeah. And then that when I die, this is the coffin, yeah, that I would be buried on. He wrote also that, you know, there will be a service at the stadium. And then he said, this is what he said. It's documented. You can look for it. He said that when I die, my body will come to the mortuary. And then it will be put on this coffin. And then on the day of the funeral, my body in this coffin will be transported to the stadium. And then the service will be held there, you know. And after after the service, it will be taken to the graveyard, and I will be buried. And then from there, people will disperse, go to their different places. No eating, no celebrity, nothing. That's what he said. Yeah, no? No after tears, you know. Yeah, no listen, can nothing. Yeah. And I was surprised, really, when I heard about, you know, his death. I said, so are we going? You know, speaking to them, are we going? Yeah, and he said, no, you know. And then they talked about, I didn't go. And so when people who went, you know, when they came back, they were just talking about the coffin. Because this is the man who has thousands of churches. Eh? Who started thousands of churches. And they were just talking about, I mean, you look at their conferences, their Easter conference, when they are raising money. I mean, it's millions that they are raising. Yeah. And you look at, and so people were shocked. They say the coffin was that baby tang, a fish. Yeah, it was that, it was fish. Could the cheapest fish you can be thinking of. It was like that. Yeah. And it says, He wrote it in his will, in his, you know, that this is how I want to be buried on. Yeah. I'm busy writing how I'm going to be, so. But that's, I still have, you know, about, well, how many years now? What's that? Have we a Brahman? No, Brahman is nothing. I still have, yeah, close to 40 years, so don't worry. And yeah, so I still have time to write. Yeah. Anyway, what was I talking about? So I was talking about that, you know, he and in Witbank, that service, he preached a message. He says, I am going. I don't want that when I am gone, you remove ancient pegs. That the things that we have established don't come up with a different gospel. Don't come up with, you know, something that is fancy now, that is something that is on fashion. Say, don't come up with that. Let us stay with the gospel that you were taught. Ah, that message, you know, it really changed my life. Yeah. So he was, I mean, he was full, packed, and he was saying that, you know, remain on the, don't move away from the foundation. Remain on that foundation. Whatever happens, remain. Remain on what is true. Now here, Apostle Paul is doing the same thing. He's saying that he's reminding them that remember how I came to you. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech of wisdom. Or wisdom, message that will excite you. He says, I didn't come with that. You know, when I came to you, I didn't read from Reader's Digest, you know, an encyclopedia, you know, and all of that. Yeah, verse 2. Yeah, for I decided, he says, I decided to know nothing among you. The only thing that I came is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Says that's what I came to preach. When I came to you, I decided to know nothing among you. Well, we're talking about man who was not stupid. Man who was highly educated. Paul was highly educated. He went to the best university of the day. He writes in now and then, said that I sat at Gamaliel's feet, you know, and I was taught. When he was giving his credential, people were saying that, you know what, you are a dangerous man. So he was not a stupid person. But he says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with lofty speech, quoting Gamaliel. You know, and this is what he says, you know, and also Aristotle, you know, confirms it this way, you know, and no, he says, I came to you, I've decided to know nothing. In other words, all those, that knowledge that I have put it aside because I know that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it is not working yet. So today, you know, it's like credentials are what are important instead of the Word of God. Yeah. So he says, the only thing that I came is just Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, this does not mean that we should not be educated. We should be educated. We should learn. You know, we shouldn't be ignorant. You know, but when we come to the things of the Spirit, we need to know that, you know, this is spiritual. It's not about the knowledge that I've gained. It's about the spiritual being about, because we are dealing with the spirit, we are not dealing with the mind, we are dealing with the spirit. We are to empower spiritual food onto the spirit. Amen? Yeah. And so we need to balance this out. And so, verse 3, let's continue reading. It says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. Eh? Applauding, people applauding. Ah, hey, you're preaching good. You know, and wow, you said it. He says, my preaching was not in plausible words of human wisdom. Yeah. But how did I come? He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Says that's what I brought. I brought demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Yeah. And so that's why, you know, when you go and you minister and you're to preach somewhere, you are to, you know, to encourage people, you go to the cell group and, you know, to do that, don't go there empty-handed. Ah, kitla libella scripture, kitla. No. Pray about it. The things of the Spirit. Yeah. When I go to church in the morning, you know, the whole trip, right from here until we reach there, I am praying. Now, I have studied. I have done whatever necessary research, you know, but that's not time for looking at the screen. It's time to connect with God. And I pray is that, God, I want that when I open up my mouth, people would receive life. You see, when I stand here and preach, it's not that I should be applauded. It's that you would receive life. Because life will carry you through. What's that? Yes, I don't preach to impress, but to impact. We should not preach to impress, but we need to preach to impact. Impact the life of people. And I'm telling you that you can just mention one scripture, but you find that the revelation is flowing out of that scripture. Life is coming out. And so Paul says that I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, so that, why? This is what I'm getting at. It says, so that your faith might not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of man. Yeah. But your faith should be in the power of God. In other words, don't trust the natural. Don't depend on the natural. You know, on the fact that, oh, you have studied, you have researched this, you have done this. It's good, all of that, but don't trust on it. Trust on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And you know, we study, we do all of that, and we rely also on the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. Now, when you don't study, because before you stand before people, you need to stand before God in prayer, and you need to stand before His word in studying. So what happens is that people now are carried by claiming to be the Spirit without really going into study. And that's why it's creating a lot of problems in the Christian circle. Yeah. No, moyong pleletswa. The Spirit told me this. The Spirit told me that. Yeah, look here. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. So that is why you are secure when you are standing ubekapakilensulamudim. That's why whatever you preach, make sure that that's what the Word says. Because Jesus said that the words that I speak to you are spirit and they're alive. You know, so they're coming from the words. The words were spirit. And so we need to feed on the word and to study the word. Are you with me? You know, to study the word. I told you that two things that are important in a Christian is the word and the spirit. Yeah. Now, when you have the word without the spirit, you dry up. When you have the spirit without the word, you blow up. And that's, we have a lot of blowing up in the, people or moyo we say, go just a no. You know, go just a no. Blowing up, all these things, blowing up, because there hasn't been a foundation on the word. Look here, the only thing that will judge us when we get to heaven is the word of God. Really? So you rather be on the right side of the way. Yeah, making sure that I'm trying by all means. You know, my prayer is that God help me that I should always be on the right side of the weight. I should not be carried away by the thing whether it's popular. Or, hey, yeah, shuma. Muruti tlao tusa. Lo ena itlao shumela. Yeah, shuma. It works, this thing. It works. Mar, what does the word say about it? Is it confirmed by the word? Is it backed up by the word? Is it supported by the word? That's why we need to be focusing, really. Not that the thing works. Everything works. The things of the devil works also. The magician threw their sticks down and they turned into snakes. Bible says so. It turned into snakes. So the thing that, you know, you put an oil and you got healed, that does not justify that that should be right. Let's look at, is the oil supported by the word of God? That's the base. That's what we need to be looking at. Not at huri ishu mile mruj. Ma demonia manifestile. Why it's ma demonia abulel. Ah, abulel, ata abulel. Abulel tili go Jesu Christ again. That does not make it right. Abulela le mo Paul. Are, you know, follow this man. These are the men of God. Abulela neti. Anasa abulele mag. Anabala mag ele ma demoni. We don't go by that. You know, but we go by being supported by the word of God. What is the word saying? Never deviate from the word of God. Are you with me? Yeah. And I'm saying this because, you know, out there are a lot of things happening. And that you don't need to be carried away. Just know your foundation. Just know, you know, the truth of the word of God. Be founded on the word of God. I won't forget this. Pastor Patrick, remember? Patrick Maluzzi. Yeah. Dr. Patrick. He shared this. He said that. Now, from my grandfather's grandmother's, you know, on my father's side, there were people who were, Methodist, you know, and I grew up in Methodist. I'm told that I was baptized, and you know, I was not aware, you know, when they did. Yeah, but, yeah, so I can't testify of that. Yeah, but I, on confirmation, I attended confirmation catechism, you know, I read it, I passed it. Hey, ke pasitse ke thabetse hore now go just lallo. And so I did all of that. So from my grandfather's side, you know, we never consulted witch doctors and so forth. From my mother's side, that was the practice. My way. But from my father's side, you know, my grandparents, when I get like a gang, you know, you know, they were not there. So now, Pastor Patrick, who is on my father's, side, he said this. He said that, because of, the chomi, and so forth. Says, he had a problem with the leg. And so they tell, I know so-and-so who can help you. Yeah. So he went. And then he says, guess what? The leg got healed. He says, the leg got healed. Now he shares this testimony. He says, but the unfortunate thing now, I started having problems. By that time, when I was speaking, the nightmares, things happening, and things now, strange things happening. Says, that's what I experienced. After going there, look, the leg got here. But now I couldn't sleep at night. There were things happening. Yeah. And so this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that, we can't base on the experience that the leg got healed. This must be right. No. Based on the word of God. Are you with me? And it is only when he got saved that those things disappear. The things disappear. And so we need to base. So Paul says here that the reason why I did not bring all my scrolls of the things that I've studied, present them to you, is because I did not want that your faith should rest in the wisdom of man. Says that is the main purpose. I didn't want that your faith should rest in the wisdom of God, but I wanted that your faith should rest in the power of God. In the power of God. Yeah. And so, that's what is important. That our faith should rest in the power of God. And that would happen by sticking to the word of God. And he says, I came to you proclaiming Jesus and him crucified. Not knowing nothing, but just Jesus and him crucified. That's all that I came to preach. Yeah. Being well educated, and still. Now, Peter the great apostle, listen to what he says. He says, talks about the things that Paul wrote. He says that some of the things that Paul wrote are of high standard. He attests to what? It's like he's saying that, retamelele Jesu Kriste, but munna o lotsa maka revelation is serious. That person understand his story. That person, God has, he has studied the way, because he would write and refer to their Bible, that which was the Old Testament. Oh, look at, the Bible says this here and there. The Bible says this here and there. The Bible says this here and there. And that is the methodology that we need. Refer to what your Bible is saying. And don't come up with one scripture. Let the scripture agree with the rest of the Bible. You stay safe that way. When you read a scripture, a Bible verse, and it appears that it is not in agreement, don't run with it. Check it out. Bounce it off with other mature Christians. What is the Bible saying here? This is what it said, and so forth. I was pleased, Mama Shatulawesi. Is she here? She came to me last week and said, Pastor, this is what I was asked at a Bible college, And then I said that Now, the first thing that you need to know, remember that there is paraphrase Bible and there is literal Bible. So I said that, you know, when it comes to these questions, you know, these kinds of questions, don't rely on the paraphrase. If you want to go to look at, but what does it say? Look at the literary, you know, Bible. And then from there, while we're here, I just looked at different literal translations, and they were all saying the same thing. Yeah. So it's so better to bounce it off with, you know, other people. That will help you. That, oh, okay, you know, here, what do I do? You know, this is what you can do. Because if people don't do that, they run into error. Yeah. So if I'm stuck with something, I bounce it off, you know, with other people. What do you think about this? You know, this is what is happening. You know, what do you think about it? Yeah. And so that, look, you know, you run into bushes, you know, and then you say, hey, kitlar ameni kereke. Yeah. And then you say, you know, hunal hunal munna. You know, there was a man. There was a man called Jonah. Yeah. And Jonah swallowed a big fish. Yeah. And this man was powerful, you know. I don't know how big was his stomach, but he swallowed a big fish. You know. And then somebody out there said, hey, it's not Jonah who swallowed a fish, it's fish who swallowed John. He said, the fish, you know, whether the fish swallowed Jonah or Jonah swallowed fish, but they were swallowing in there. That's when you don't know your story. Are you with me? So we don't want that. So Paul says that, you know, that your faith would rest on what? On the power of God. So it's very much important, church, you know, that we get into the Word, you know, and let the Word build us up. Let the Word establish us. Yeah. And because the Word is a spirit. And so when you walk in the Spirit, you join the two so that people would grow. Yeah. I told you that you know, when a person has the Word, no spirit, he dries up. When he has the Spirit and no Word, he blows up. You know, but when you have them together, he grows up. The person will grow up when you have both of them. And that's what actually Apostle Paul did. You know, he says, I decided to know nothing, verse 2, among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. Verse 4, he says, that your faith should not rest. Verse 4, yes. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, in verse 5, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. May your faith rest in the power of God. May your faith rest in the power of God. Hallelujah. Did you receive something from God? Thank you, Lord. Can we say this, Father God? I thank you that you're helping me to set my mind on the things of the Spirit and not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I didn't complete what I wanted to say, so next week we'll just pick up from here. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
you're in the house, you know, you're enjoying the grace that is in the house. And when you serve God, you're doing it because you love God. I'm telling you that the blessings will always remain with you.
Let your light shine in the darkest parts. Let your love fill the world.
Wow, what a great message it was. Join me next time, even as we continue to hear what God is saying in our next podcast. Or you can also visit us in our website, www.cfcpolokwane.co.za. God richly bless you.
To you, and I belong to you forever.